This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Perhaps the most anticipated free agency period in Patriots Nation since the uncharacteristically aggressive shopping spree of 2021 is at hand. Yet some of the prizes most Pats fans considered that the team would be shopping for are already off the board. Where are they going to go? Who are they going to spend too much money on? And which players at the end of this week are going to call Foxborough home? Fitzy and Mego are here to break it down with our free agency day one preview on Six Rings in Football Things.
Hey, whatever it takes, man.
It's all about winning, all right? Win it on three. One, two, three, win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Brogan. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri boots a 48-yard field goal, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
How about that for our fancy new intro and everything? Shout out the good people at 2400 for getting an assignment and doing their job. Mego, here we are. It is now officially legal tampering time. But honestly, like at this point, they just need to stop. There's no delineation between legal tampering and the actual beginning of free agency, because we know by the time it gets to high noon, Monday, March 10th, free agency is underway. Like that, we have cried havoc and let slip the overcompensated dogs of free agency war. So for all intents and purposes, here we are. Finally.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say like the legal tampering period, I don't know, it seems to blur all the way at least to the combine, because everybody from the league is over there in Indianapolis and at the steakhouses together. You know, they're talking about who's going to be available and what the prices are going to be. So I guess now we can just talk about it all out in the open for the NFL.
Yeah, like the framework of a lot of deals could very well have been nudge, nudge, wink, wink, under the carpet, closed doors, whiskey parlors, all that jazz out in Indianapolis, which is why you keep hearing things like expect the Patriots to be very aggressive in their pursuit of X, Y, or Z come high noon on Monday o'clock. But before we get to our best bets for who we think the Patriots will go after on day one of free agency, we need to address some of the deals that have already been done, because a lot of the prizes that we figured the Patriots would be in pursuit of are off the board. And that sound you heard, the collective wail from Patriots Nation. No, why?
Ronnie Stanley.
Yep, that's right. Around 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, word trickled out that the Baltimore Ravens had re-signed their starting left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, to a 3-year, $60 million deal with about $40 million guaranteed. This is what we could have expected to happen, considering that the salary cap went up so much. A lot of teams are now able to keep their free agents, like the Kansas City Chiefs. They kept Nick Bolton on a 3-year, $45 million deal, even though they are, quote, kind of up against it, because there's just so much money to spend now for all these teams. I will say, Ronnie Stanley must either not wanted to have uprooted his family, like playing for the Ravens, love Baltimore, or a combination therein, because he probably could have gotten a lot more money overall and a lot more money guaranteed if he tested the waters of free agency and dipped his toe into New England.
Yeah, I don't think it's an incredible surprise that Ronnie Stanley is off the board, because he was in a different tier than the other available tackles, or who we are guessing at this point as we record Sunday evening are going to remain available in free agency and not get re-signed by their teams. But I think what's surprising to me is that there was a lot of buzz after the combine about how the Patriots were going to be aggressive towards Ronnie Stanley. And so I don't know if there was just that intention coming from the Patriots and they weren't aware that Ronnie Stanley seemed to be pretty happy staying in Baltimore and wanting to re-sign there and not testing free agency and not seeing what he can get in the free market. It's definitely a disappointment because that was my number one guy. That's totally
mine too.
I think for a lot of people, they saw, like me, like you saw it as that would have been a turnkey solution and given you a little wiggle room in the draft. And you could go maybe get a fun piece in the draft like Tet McMillan or someone, or if Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter somehow fell to 4 with what's shaking out with the quarterbacks, that could have been really fun. But instead it's like now you have to pivot to all these other directions to eat your vegetables and find a left tackle.
Yeah. We had basically convinced everybody, or it seemed like everybody was on board and we were all marching in the same direction. We need a left tackle. This team needs a left tackle. So the unsexy of big, strong, huge dudes was exactly what Patriots fans and Pats Nation wanted at large. And now this has a trickle down effect, because not only are you not going to get the best left tackle available, but who knows if they're going to even pursue one in free agency. Now, my guess is that they probably still do, but the best one, the one that they wanted and needed the most, is off the board. And now this affects the way that they go about the draft as well. I don't necessarily think they're going to take a tackle 4th overall just yet. I mean, again, we'll have to see what happens over the next couple of days. But as far as who's still available, because we have a wide receiver one problem and we have a tackle problem, obviously. I read this earlier today. The offensive line needs to be addressed overall. Let's see. This was at Matt St. Dream earlier today on Twitter.
Said, what a lovely name.
He wrote, let's see, does some Patriots work over there for the fine folks at Patriots CLNS. Shout out to them as well for helping us out with our awesome Pat's pre-agency party fundraiser on Friday night. Their options at left tackle now, between draft, their own roster, and free agency, Cam Robinson. He allowed the most pressures in the NFL last year and is going to still cost a lot of money. Dan Moore was statistically one of the worst starting tackles in 2023, and he cost money. Vidarian Lowe, not good, plus a penalty machine. Will Campbell in the draft, maybe not an offensive tackle, and will cost you likely the 4th overall pick. Pats are they're in a tight spot right now.
Those aren't their only options. I think the Dan Moore name is interesting because I saw Phil Perry name check that yesterday, and that feels to me a little bit informed. And as you said, like, not the best option of if you're looking for a turnkey solution, and he might be someone who's like $13 million AAV. So that's not exactly, it's not like you're getting him for a deal. It's free agency. So you're going to overpay for that Steelers left tackle. I agree with you though. If you're like then pivoting all the way to the draft and saying, so does this change the way that they decide to draft with 4? My ideal scenario for them at this point would be to find a trade partner, trade back, get someone like Armand Membu, who I think we talked the other day. Really, really.
Rocketing really up the draft boards, though, after he tested through the roof at the combine.
Right.
4.9 for a guy who's 6'8", 330.
If you can trade back to like 7 or somewhere around that range.
Pick up a little and extra again, asset, yeah.
What's really frustrating here, without getting like too deep into draft stuff, because we are talking free agency, is that so much of this feels out of your control because of how bad the quarterbacks in the draft are relative to other drafts. And it just puts you in a tough spot trying to fill these very, very high-end positions.
There are some other tackles I like in the draft that could be found in the second or the third round as well. But you need a stopgap. Like, there has to be some. Vadarian Lowe is not good enough. As a matter of fact,
he's not right healthy now, enough either.
No.
He can't stay out there.
Right. He can never stay out there. And when he's out there, every seventh play, he's committing a penalty too. Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, but that's probably statistically correct, sad to say. Right now, with the swirling rumors that David Andrews might get released and what the Patriots have on the offensive line, it basically is like, I don't know at left tackle. I'm not sure at left guard. I don't know at center. Mike Onwenu, I have no idea at right tackle. Like, Caden Wallace could factor in, Cole Strange, Laden Robinson maybe. But I wouldn't be surprised, Mego, if day one, the Patriots try to bring in a guard, a tackle, and a starting center as well. And that might make somebody like Baltimore's Patrick McCurry a desirable asset. Bill Barnwell talked him up a little bit Friday night during the online party with Doug Kide, the fundraiser with Doug Kide and Andrew Callahan. He might end up being a solution. He played guard last year for the Ravens, but might be better suited at tackle. Big dude. Obviously, they're all big dudes, but could be a swing guy. That's why maybe he'll be a stopgap, and then you draft somebody. So hopefully maybe you can use McCurry this year at tackle. You could possibly kick him in at guard as well. What do you think they're going to do with all, like, do you see, is the solution in-house? It can't be. Like, they're going to have to go after a couple of guys starting Monday.
So I think that what they were trying to do at the end of last year, especially with the center position, was try to figure out if there could be a solution in-house for this year, knowing that they were going to have to rebuild a lot of their offensive line. So when Cole Strange got healthy again, trying him out at center, you know, they went through four different centers last year? You know,
so many.
Just absolutely crazy for a position that is so connected to your rookie quarterback. And trying to build that chemistry there. I think Laden Robinson still has a pretty high ceiling if he continues to develop along as they expect. And Caden Wallace, it's still early in his career to say that he's not a solution. I think tackle is still the position that is such a premium in the league and that you have been lacking at for years. And you just, that position continues to atrophy because you tried Chukwukor for last year, because you try to force Vadarian Lowe into that position because you're just trying to have a big body out there. Yeah. So I guess I don't want to whistle past the graveyard with the other positions on the offensive line, but I just think tackle is such a bigger premium need.
They kicked this can down the road for three seasons, basically the final two of Belichick's run. And then even the one and done for Gerard Mayo as well. They never properly addressed left tackle and right tackle. And now this is the mess you get. I don't know if Caden Wallace is going to be the answer on either side, possibly at right tackle at best. I don't know who they like at guard. Cause the problem is we don't know what Mike Vrabel and Doug Marrone collectively think about all the talent they have or lack of talent, nor Josh McDaniels as well. They may look at all these linemen and say, that's cool that you guys are still on the roster, but we don't like any of y'all. So we're going to go buy a whole bunch of new ones and let you go. And as far as David Andrews goes, obviously, when it comes to leadership, high quality of a human being, the camaraderie he sets, the tone in the locker room, being a captain, everybody loves David Andrews. If, in fact, his time in New England is done, it's a rumor now. It's not substantiated or confirmed by any stretch, but you know, that's a veteran voice in the lot. That's going to have to be replaced as well. And, you know, he's just been dinged up so many times. I hope if his time in New England is done, that maybe his football time is done. Because I'd hate to see the guy pick up any nagging injuries or lingering issues that dog him for years to come. He's such a dude.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And he has talked really, I think, the last two seasons, certainly on Trash Bag Day in Foxborough when I was down there. He was talking a lot about how much he considers retirement at the end of these seasons and how difficult it's been for him. So it would be a huge loss in terms of leadership, character in the locker room, and a huge loss at center, but he's certainly paid his dues here. He should be able to go out the way that he wants.
110 million%. So with the, these people being picked up over the weekend, some of these people possibly being released from the Patriots, we stare down the barrel of Monday, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The gates are up. chaos to ensue, and the New England Patriots can splash the pot wherever and however they want because they've got about $130 million of salary cap room. Now, obviously, they're not going to spend it all because there are in-season moves to be made, possible trades, and, of course, you got to sign your rookie draft class, and they hold the fourth overall pick as of now. So let's make some bold predictions. How do we see day one for the Patriots going, and who do you, Miss Mego, see the Patriots first making an offer to that is accepted? Welcome to New England. The name is?
Chris Godwin.
Oh, okay.
This is my prediction now because when we hear about the pivoting, pivot, plan B, C, and D, I was skeptical even when we talked on the pre-agency show that you guys ran that was so fantastic with CLNS on Friday night. I said, like, okay, so if they're going for Chris Godwin and he's going to be north of $25 million AAV.
It's an insane amount of money for a guy.
How are they going to make room for someone like Ronnie Stanley who's going to command huge money? Well, Ronnie Stanley's out of the equation now.
He's not walking through that door.
No. And so I wonder if, okay, knowing that they're going to be looking at the offensive line, looking at the premium position of tackle and not be spending Ronnie Stanley money, does that loosen up the reins a little bit on the wide receiver money? Chris Godwin, as we discussed again on Friday night, I think everyone agrees that he is such a high character guy that he'd walk in and make an immediate impact on the wide receiver room that's badly needed in that group. And I saw Mike Giardi, who first had the report on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, saying that he was going to be that expense and that the Patriots were going to be the ones that were really... That was Giardi who had that, correct?
Yes, it was. And by the way, as we are recording this late Sunday afternoon... No more than just 1 minute ago. Aaron Jones just re-signed with the Vikings on a 2-year, $20 million deal. So in case anyone thought, maybe he could come in and be a nice little veteran compliment to Ramondre Stevenson, because I'm sure they're going to want to add some sort of talent in the – you got to have at least three good running backs. They've got they've got two. Antonio Gibson, obviously, as well. Actually outperformed Ramondre the second half of the 2024 season. But, breaking news. Aaron Jones there. Okay, so there's another one off the board. Everyone's got all this money now all of a sudden. Damn.
I know, it's so annoying. Oh, but anyway, with the Chris Godwin thing, so Giardi updated his report yesterday morning saying it's actually going to be like more in the low 20s. Yep. So that gives you a little something else to work with. I think that is maybe a little bit more palatable, even though he's 29 with a reconstructed ankle.
And by the way, pass rushers, whoever you think the Patriots are going to pursue, whatever guy they want to get after, it's going to cost even more money now because Myles Garrett, who insisted he wanted to go play somewhere else that wasn't Cleveland because of the fact that they were non-competitive and he didn't see a bright football future there, was coerced into thinking otherwise. When he signed the largest defensive end pass rusher non-quarterback deal in NFL history, 4 years, $160 million. Mego, that means now the market rate for a premier pass rusher, a defensive end, an edge, is $40 million.
That's insane.
Josh Sweat must, first of all, he already made himself a gazillion dollars with his performance in Super Bowl 59. He sees this, he's going to be like, girl, whatever we were going to ask, let's up it by 20% now.
Yeah, I don't think that, I don't think that Josh Sweat is coming here. Is that okay?
No, Josh Sweat will not be a member of your New England Patriots. I do not believe so.
If I say first name is Chris Godwin, Josh Sweat is like last name on the board.
Exactly. So I'm going to go, the first guy I think the Patriots are going to sign, come on down, Milton Williams, defensive tackle from the Philadelphia Eagles. You are a New England Patriot. You are a New England Patriot on a 3-year, $72 million deal. With $47 million guaranteed. Top pass rusher, one of the top pass rushers, run stuffers. Matter of fact, I forget exactly what his pressure terms were from last season, but right here on the old NFL.com, they have adjusted, given all the people that have actually re-signed with their teams. Milton Williams is ranked the number one overall free agent. So it'd be nice. Patriots, hey, you could say they're doing their business. They're doing their job if they go out and get the number one guy. It's hard to ignore Williams may have been the best defensive player on the field in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, he's going to go somewhere and get paid handsomely. I hope it's Foxborough, because we know Terrell Williams and Mike Vrabel want to get a slightly smaller, quicker, more aggressive defense. And I think that begins, we still haven't figured out how they're going to stop defenses coming after Drake May and protect him. But one way they can try to win some football games is stopping the other team from running the ball down their throat. And that begins with Milton Williams.
Along with those defensive names, how do you feel about Harold Landry? He's somebody outside linebacker from Tennessee who has been in the headlines for a good while now, almost 29 years old, has familiarity with Vrabel. So
tons of familiarity.
Does that seem like it would be an easy day one name that they could sign?
100%. Absolutely. And he goes to Boston College. So familiar native son. He's 28 now, does turn 29 in June. Has had some injuries the last couple of years. His prime or his greatest playing days may have passed him by, but still can be a highly effective edge rusher. And again, quality veteran with a rapport and relationship with head coach Mike Vrabel as well. I wouldn't be surprised. This is one of those, same way we're talking about signing a tackle, stopgap tackle, and then drafting one as well to develop as your left tackle of the future. You sign Harold Landry. You maybe either in the first or second round, you take your edge rusher of the future, have him learn the game from Harold Landry. And the effect that he'll have on guys like Keon White and others would be massive as well, because again, high character guy, really good locker room leader. These are just more of those veteran voices they need. So I wouldn't be surprised if we have Milton Williams, Harold Landry, and I'm with you. I think Chris Godwin might very well be enticed on a four-year, $90 million deal with $40 million guaranteed day one.
And yeah, I think those first two names, I mean, Chris Godwin is kind of in a different tier, but those first two names, when we compare what the Patriots may be trying to do and say what my Commanders did last year, like those first two names feel very in line with the kind of moves that the Commanders made in free agency and trying to bring in guys who were, you know, at the end of their prime or maybe slightly past their prime and their production and what was going on ahead of them in their career. But these really, really high character guys who are going to buy in to what a new coach is doing and lead by example. And that's what's been lacking in that Patriots locker room, certainly last season.
Yeah. And just think about it. Like what the first three guys we've talked about here, Harold Landry teaches Keon White how to be an adult and play the game better. Also can be effective and will be a mentor to whoever they draft. Chris Godwin does the same. Kayshon Booty, Javon Baker, Pop Douglas, everybody benefits from his presence. And also still, if that ankle's healed up, he's a pretty damn good wide receiver. And then with Milton Williams, if you want to draft a defensive tackle as well, go ahead. He's hitting his prime right now. So he's a damn good stud standout player that'll improve the pass rush as well as the run stuff. Now you got to figure out what you're going to do with that tackle position and like finding these guys that'll play well now, but also, teach the new kids how to play. This is a great plan for improved quality of play in 2025 and then really getting after it going forward. I feel like there's probably two. I bet you they probably bring in like five guys the first day. So
five guys, delicious.
Five guys. I know. My son was talking about. I have it on the brain right now. I'm starving, and I want nothing more than a large bag of Five Guys fries. So let's say Milton Williams, maybe Harold Landry, Chris Godwin. I bet you there's a cornerback and somebody on the offensive line to be found day one. Of the cornerbacks that are Malcolm Kuntz could also be available, and there has allegedly been some interest in him, but I'd go Harold Landry first, probably over Kuntz. They'll spend money on a corner and a lineman. Mego, of the availables, the Carlton Davises, the Charvarius Wards, the DJ Reeds, who do you think the Patriots may throw a bag at and who would say yes?
I think that they would probably try for those top three that you just named, and it's more a matter of who's going to agree to come out and play for you if they're going to be inspired by Vrabel. I also think that the Patriots hopefully have looked at themselves and tried to figure out what their position with John Jones is, because I love John Jones. And if we're talking about high character guys and leaders in the locker room, he's definitely one of those and one of the final holdovers from the dynastic era. And so, you know, he is a little long in the tooth and we saw him have some coverage breakdowns at times last season. I agree with you that they should go after one of those top three. But I think if they do land one of those big dogs, then their free agent and John Jones, they're probably going to have to let walk.
Yeah,
because it doesn't make sense to re-sign him as a depth piece, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if John Jones fits into what they want to do defensively. He should fit on any defense in the NFL, if you ask me. And I also read a report last week. I wish I could remember who, that said maybe Marcus Jones doesn't schematically fit what they want to do. I don't know if they're going to flip him over to offense.
Well, Marcus Jones plays three different positions. Come on,
I know
now.
He can catch the ball. He returns kickoffs and punts. Maybe he'll factor less on defense and more on special teams and offense, which I wouldn't say no to if they had some guys they wanted to target. I'm going to throw Charvarius Ward out there. I know he wants to turn his life around after the tragic passing of his daughter last year, when he was playing at a very high level, and that turned his life upside down. And he wants to get away from California. He said, just because, you know, for emotional and personal reasons.
And it's painful.
It's very painful. But he's still a damn good football player. I wouldn't be surprised if the Pats go after him. And now the offensive line. You need a center, most likely. You could use guard depth, and you absolutely need a tackle. So who do we think day one may get the phone call and the big burlap sack that has a dollar sign on it?
Am I allowed to say, like, who I don't want them to go for?
Well, of course you are. This isn't just who we want. We can play the who we don't want game for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's probably not fair, but I'm kind of scared of the pivot to Cam Robinson. I just think that could be a situation where you're paying a guy so much who allowed so many pressures last year, who was only with the Vikings for 1 year. And then, you know, they're letting him walk after he spent his entire career before that with Jacksonville, which is not exactly, you know, one of the crown jewels of the NFL in terms of the programs that they build.
Ship him out to Minnesota after, I forget who, Darrisaw goes down, and he's not great in Jacksonville, not great in Minnesota. Are you concerned?
He doesn't I'm scared about him as a stop, as a very expensive stopgap. Bullish on Ronnie Stanley is like, throw the bag at him. And that's what the reporting was indicating. So I'm guessing that the Patriots may feel that way too.
Marone upsell the Patriots though and say, like, hey, I coached him in Jacksonville. Don't worry, I can get the best out of him all over again. Cause maybe maybe those days are behind him.
Yeah. I guess that's the benefit of having him there with this particular class of free agency, is that he will have the intel on it. But if I'm looking at who they're filling out the offensive line with, like, first and foremost, unfortunately, they do have to get bodies. They do have to get depth, as they learned the hard way last year, and they do have to focus on those tackle positions. Uh-huh. That name just scares me.
Same here. I think I'm going to go with Mercari. I'm going to ride with Bill Barnwell, Taylor Kyles, and other football savants mentioned.
And I like the flexibility that he would allow you.
Yeah, I mean, if you got somebody who can play tackle, can play guard, you've obviously got to need it both. Let's see, Patrick Mercari, very attractive free agent, 27 years old, 6'4", 310. So he's not typically like you want. I think even Will Campbell, the most debated half inch or 2 inches in wingspan in NFL history, is a little bit taller than that. So I don't know if that's going to be the full answer. I mean, the Dan Moore thing just sort of, I think we all have Chooks Okorafor syndrome. You know, we're all just like scarred by that whole experience. So we hear like tackle from Pittsburgh, egads, no, please don't do it again. I don't know enough about the guy to say that I think he'd be a good idea, but we'll see. They got to bring in someone. They have enough money to play the volume game, Mego, and take a couple of chances, but I have no idea who else. They can't not. I hate to use a double negative. They can't not get somebody day one.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, I think you're right in them saying, like, maybe we just take not like flyers, but we take a couple chances on a few guys who could play the positions here. It's just, you look at some of the guys that are out here. It's like, unfortunately, like Cornelius Lucas, that's somebody who basically, you know, lost
his position
to somebody in the draft last year with the Commanders, because they actually were able to draft a tackle and have him play.
Spotrac has Cam Robinson, your boy, at 3 for 42. I bet he'd still even get more than that. And their projection on Mercari, I always add a little bit because I feel like sometimes these projections, while reasonably accurate, so he could get like a 3 for 33 type of deal.
You know who's available?
Who's that?
Isaiah Wynn. You could bring him back.
What's the, what do the kids like to say? What do they say? Delete your account?
just letting everybody know. Maybe you could run it back. Run it back with Isaiah Wynn.
Brutal. Joseph Noteboom, a tackle that's available, 30 years old, coming out of the Rams. He's projected to get somewhere in the neighborhood. No, he's not going to get that money. It doesn't even sound like a real person.
Dan Skipper from Detroit. Didn't he used to run ESPN?
Yeah. Hey, is your guy, Mekhi Becton, who switched to guard, played with the Eagles, had a good year. He's available.
As a guard.
Your guy, Brandon Scherff, used to play for the Commanders? Played with
Brandon Scherff. What's his AAV? This is probably how they're going about it now because Stanley off
all the way down, probably a 1 year, $7 million.
You know what, Fitzy? I'm talking myself into drafting a tackle at four.
You know what? The more I look at this, absolutely. Oh my God, this is awful. There is just no talent out there. Yeah. Just a large person, big stufferman, you know, Hans McGee, somebody get someone in there. This is the wild card. I think after the Ronnie Stanley signing in Baltimore, Mego, I think it's impossible to predict exactly which way the Patriots are going to go. And I'm sure they're trying to figure out what the hell to do now as well.
Two other positions I wanted to ask you about real quick.
Yeah.
Where it's supposed to have a lot of strength in the draft. So I'm wondering what you think the Patriots will do is running back, where there are quite a few intriguing free agents, and tight end.
Draft. I don't think they're going to go after Evan Engram, as talented as he is, because Austin Hooper was one of your better players, let alone pass catchers or offensive assets last year. He knows the system, gets along very well with Hunter Henry. Good dude. By all accounts, it means it would seem to make sense to re-sign him, but they haven't yet, and they have a priority ability to do so. So I'm curious to see if they're going to let him get to market and gauge his worth elsewhere, if they're going to consider bringing him back. I definitely think, considering that it's a good running back draft and a great tight end draft, they should grab one of each. And as far as running backs go, I wouldn't be surprised if they get into a volume game and maybe grab two, you know, maybe grab
in
one
the draft.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did, you know, maybe kind of like they took Ridley and Vereen in the 2011 draft as well. Mm-hmm. Ridley was an okay starter for a few years. Vereen was tremendous. And one of the reasons why they won Super Bowl 49, I think Antonio Gibson still has plenty to contribute at the pro level. We'll see what they think of Ramondre. I guess they're higher on him than we are. Travion Henderson is the guy that I wanted them to go after. Omarion Hampton will probably cost too much. And the Ashton Jeanty dream is just that, a dream. But it's fun to dream sometimes.
So you don't want anything of the Najee Harris, J.K. Dobbins, any of that kind of game going JK. On in Freed?
I do. JK, no, I'm good. Gus Edwards, JK Dobbins, no. I think I'm all set on that front.
But throwing it out there.
It's a good draft for that as well. But I still wouldn't be surprised if Vrabel finds one guy that's like, no, we're gonna hammer the ball this year. So get me this large guard, get me this guy at center. I'll take a gut, you know, maybe he wants a JK Dobbins on a 1 year deal. I'd heard the Steelers may get in on Dobbins if Najee Harris prices himself out.
That makes me want him then.
Yeah, exactly. Any receiver that's interested in Pittsburgh, please give the Patriots a call and they'll double the offer.
All right, just start tapping the lines there.
Seriously, they really should. All right, folks. So there's some of our predictions and ideas for how day one will go in free agency. Of course, big signings, big moves. We'll try to jump on the old podcast machine and give you guys the latest info, analysis, news, notes, and so much more. You can follow her at Megan_Ottolini. I'm at Fitzy GFY. And if I'm on the radio from 2 to 6, there's a very good chance we'll be talking football this week, giving you guys everything you need to know about the evolving New England Patriots roster. All right, Mego, good stuff. You feel better. Have a great week. And we will catch up as this wild and highly anticipated free agency period begins. Thanks so much for listening to the latest Six Rings and Football Things, brought to you by WEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. For Mego and everyone else associated with the old pod here, we bid you good day. Happy Monday, all. And as always, go Pats.